All right. How's everybody doing this morning? That sounds pretty good. You sound pretty good. All right, I want everybody to do something for me. Take out your cell phone. Everybody, take out your cell phone. I want you to wave it at me. I want you to show me your cell phone. Because I know y'all have one, so don't act like you don't. Everybody take it out. Show it to me. And no, this isn't a trick to say, okay, no, everybody turn off your cell phones. But turn off your cell phones, okay? All right. Could you live without this thing? I got some yeses. I couldn't. I don't know how I ever lived without it, but I could not live without it now. I know that. But the truth, you can put them up now. That's all. I just wanted to establish that you all had one and to remind you again to turn it off. turn it off. Cell phones off. God will strike you if you don't turn it off. I have a love-hate relationship with cell phones. I really like them. I love the convenience. I like that they're around. But I don't like them because they don't always work like I want them to. My wife, she actually works in a building that maybe it's just AT&T because we get bad reception everywhere. But she gets bad reception in her building. And so if I need her for something, half the time I'll call, it won't even go through. And if I do get her, there are really two main problems. I'm sure you've all experienced these problems. Problem number one is the dropped call. You know, you're in mid-sentence, you're just rocking and rolling, you're talking, you are loving life, you just made like the best joke ever or the main point, and they're not laughing. And you're like, I thought it was funny. Oh, wait. And you look, and they're not even there. And then you get all embarrassed, and you feel silly because you've been talking to yourself. And so you call them back, and the first thing they say when they answer the phone is, lost you. To which I want to say, no, really? I thought you hung up on me. Of course you lost me. Of course we dropped the calls. But when I think about it, dropped calls really aren't the worst thing. Dropped call, you know it's dropped. All right, dropped call, you just pick up, you call them back, you start over. The one that drives me even more crazy than the dropped call is the call. Or you're in mid-sentence and you hear, goat, apple, Elmo. Go, apple, Elmo. I give you a dollar if you know what that means. Because I have absolutely no idea what it means. And so you know, don't, and I'm going to make a joke now, and you're all better to laugh because I know you do it too. So you kind of move around, you know. You're like, oh, wait, I got you now. Oh, I got you. I can hear you now. Yes. No, I can't hear you now. These stinking things don't work. So you know, you hear it, and it's discombobulated, and all you really want to know is what they're saying, right? That's all you really want to know. And you're trying all these different things, and you move around. But all you really want to know is what are they trying to say to you? Now, I don't know about you, but I oftentimes feel the same way about God. My confession today is that sometimes I have a very hard time hearing from God. I feel like he's talking to me and we've got a dropped call. Or I feel like every fourth word's getting through. And I really don't know what he's saying. And I'm going to bet I'm not alone. I'm going to bet that we all, from time to time, struggle with multiple things. All right, God, are you really, you know, one, are you even real? You know, are you talking to me at all? Two, are you really telling me to do this? Are you really telling me to do that? I don't know. Oh, I can't figure it out. And then we get frustrated and we say, God, why don't you make it easier? I know I do. I'm like, God, just you know, you literally could write it in the sky. Would you do that, please? Would you just write it up there in the sky? Then I would know exactly what to do, and it'll be so much easier. And I think that's a very valid question. And we're actually going to dive into that today, and we're going to hopefully discover why it is that sometimes we think it's a little difficult to hear from God, to know what God's talking to us about. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at a guy in the Old Testament to start with. His name is Gideon. He's in Judges 6. Judges 6. If you have your Bibles, that's the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. What does that make it? The seventh book. Judges 6 is where we're going to be. We're going to look at a guy named Gideon who God spoke to. And then Gideon wasn't sure, and so he did something, and he discovered that it was really God talking to him and what he was supposed to do about it. And so I got to give you a little background here in Judges 6. What we're looking at is the nation of Israel, which was the Jewish people, that was God's chosen people. At this time, they are being controlled by a group called the Midianites. There'll be a test later. The Midianites, they've been under their control for 7 years. And here's what they would do. The Midianites would wait until the crops had grown and the Israelites were about to go harvest their crops. And then the Midianites would swoop in and they would steal all the crops. They would just leave it bare and then they'd go back. So the Israelites were afraid of death and they were starving. And they were basically wondering, all right, God, what's going on? Where you at? And so God was there. And so he sent an angel to talk to a guy named Gideon. Gideon was going to be the guy that God was going to use to defeat the Midianites. Now, when we find Gideon in this passage, Gideon is actually hiding. He's hiding in a wine press because wine presses were below the ground. So he was hiding down there threshing wheat. He was hiding because he was afraid the Midianites were going to come in and take what he had. So he was literally hiding from them in fear. Okay, and then an angel shows up and he looks at Gideon. And first thing he says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And Gideon kind of looks at him as he's threshing the wheat and goes, "Really? Me? You know I'm in a hole, right? I'm hiding from people. We've been abandoned." And the angel responds, I know, but now God's here to fix it and he's picked you. All right, so that's where we are. We're going to pick up the story right here. Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 15. Okay, it says, "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." Verse 16, "The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." The Lord said, "I'll be with you, and you're going to win." Verse 17, "Gideon replied, if I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me." Let's pause. Gideon said, "I want to know that it's really you talking to me." Now, for those of us in the room who have a relationship with Christ, that have started this journey and that do pray, that do try to listen to God, isn't that really the crux of our problem? Is we want to say, okay, God, if this is really you, I'll go. If this is really you, I'll do it. Because even though I haven't been on this journey long, I know you love me and you want the best for me. And so if it's really you, I'll take this step. But how do I know it's really you? How do I know it's not just some crazy thought that popped in my head, that is just a thought that popped in my head? And then I go do something crazy and it wasn't even you. And see, this is especially important for us as a church because we've been going now for a little over 6 months, maybe 7 months now. And, if you've been coming for a while, you know my messages aren't always, somber. I guess you think they are. I was supposed to be. I challenge you guys to take big steps. I challenge you guys to take big leaps of faith. And each of you, I believe, if you've been here for a while and you've truly opened yourself, God has impressed upon your heart a step you need to take. Whether it be, a change in action, whether it be the first step of actually giving your life to Christ, maybe it be following him in obedience and baptism, maybe it's, changing the way you act at work. I don't know what it is. But I truly believe if you're here and you're open, God is going to speak into your heart. But here's also what I know. You can walk out of here and convince yourself, well, that was just the music, and that was just Trey being silly, and how do I know that that was really God? How do I know that he really wants me to do whatever? And so we get scared. I get scared because a lot of times taking steps for God seems scary. And so we don't do it. And we get paralyzed in thinking, well, I'm not really sure that was God, So, you know, because after all, he could write it in the sky if he wanted to, and he didn't. I think we can all relate to that. And so that's where we are today. That's why we're going to walk through this passage. That's what we're going to look at Gideon to see. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Gideon, I would think, you know, an angel talking to me directly would have been enough to indicate, okay, this is what God wants me to do. But Gideon was stubborn. Not that any of us are, but Gideon was. So let's look at verse, starting verse 18, and I want us to see what Gideon did to decide, to discern, so some people call it, if it was God actually speaking to him. This is what Gideon did. Verse 18. This is Gideon talking to the angel. He said, "Please not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." 19. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. Made a meal, brought it out. 20. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. And when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Face to face. Now, I'm kind of nervous to preach this because it's kind of weird. But it's in the Bible. So here's what I want you to do, okay? When you think God's speaking to you, first thing is you need to go buy a goat. I wasn't sure if y'all were going to laugh or not, quite honestly. No, don't go buy a goat. Please, don't go buy a goat. Anyone who may check out, don't go buy a goat, okay? This is a different time period, okay? They lived under a different set of relating to God than we do, all right? They constantly had to sacrifice animals, they did, so that they could talk to God. It was his way of demonstrating what Christ was going to ultimately do when he paid the price for my sin and your sin, okay? But that's been done now, all right? No more sacrifice. Sacrifice done. We get to communicate with God, okay? So what I want you to focus on here isn't what he actually did, all right? It's this. It's that Gideon initiated a process to discover whether or not God was speaking to him. He initiated a process. And what I'm going to talk to you about today, what I'm going to present to you is a process. I'm going to give you five questions that when you walk out of this room, when you're struggling, when you think, "Hey, man, maybe God's speaking to me. Maybe he's wanting me to change this about myself, or maybe he's wanting me to take this risk." These are five questions you can ask. This is a process you can go through. And I truly believe if you prayerfully go through this process, at the end, God will speak to you and God will reveal himself as clearly as he did to Gideon. All right? So let's dig in. Question number one that you ask, and this is, oh, by the way, these questions are in, there's five of them, and they are ranked according to importance. All right? This first one is the most important question. Question number one, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Let me give you a little hint. God will never, ever, 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 ever tell you to do something, lead you to do something, give you an inclination of doing something, make it seem like a good idea to do something that to do. Never, ever, ever will that happen. Anytime God speaks to you, it will begin in his word 100% of the time. Because God's word to us is exactly that. It is his word. It is the best way he communicates with us about what he wants to do here on earth. And the truth of the matter is, for most people, for most of the situations you deal with, for most of the things we struggle with, whether or not God's talking to us, question number one is the only question you need to answer. Because most of the things we struggle with, whether or not God is talking to us, God is leading us, God is pointing us in a direction, are moral issues that we don't want to change. And it's not so much that we can't hear God, it's that we don't want to hear God. It's that we don't want to change our actions. So we say, I just don't know, God's not being clear. If it's in His Word, it's clear. So let me help you out. If you're in here today and you are in a dating relationship and you think maybe God's been nudging you that maybe you should end that dating relationship. And oh, by the way, in that dating relationship, you're having sex. Or one of you believes in God and wants to go that way, the other has no interest in God whatsoever. And you've been wondering, is God telling me to end this? Yes. He is. 100%. Or at least He's telling you to change it. Because see, when He gives us in Scripture, whoa. And we're back. You almost saw me fall. That would have been bad. Thank you. All right. That'll be confusing on the podcast. I almost tripped on a cord and killed myself. All right. See, when God gives us in Scripture clear standards and clear principles for how we're supposed to do a certain thing, and then we aren't living our lives according to those principles, and then we start to feel like maybe God's talking to me, He wants me to live that way. Yes, He is. Always. 100%. And He's never going to tell you it's okay to not live according to His principles. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Yeah, but God's kind of, I've been praying about it, and you know, we love each other, and we're planning to get married one day, so God's told me it's okay for us to sleep together. No, He didn't! Absolutely not. God speaks according to His Word. Now, maybe you are at a job where your boss is encouraging you to do things that are unethical. Actually illegal. He wants you to fudge the numbers. It's a tough economy, man. We got to make things look better than they are. And you come here on Sundays and you think, oh man, I don't know. Is God, are you talking to me about that? Should I stand up to Him? Should I quit that job? Yes. You should. You should. Because that's a moral issue. And God is abundantly clear in His Word that as Christ followers, we are to be honest, we're to be truthful, we're to obey the law. And as I said, a lot of times the reason we don't hear God is because we don't like what He's saying. We don't want to change. But I like that guy. But she's awesome. But God, I need my job. I'm not here to tell you what to do with it. I'm just telling you how to understand when God's speaking to you clearly. All right? And He speaks through His Word. Always, 100%, He's going to speak through His Word. Now, there's a catch to this. There's a catch to this speaking through His Word thing. All right, if God's going to speak to us through His Word, if that's going to be one of the primary ways He communicates with us about what He does and does not want us to do in our lives, we, in turn, need to know His Word. We need to know the Bible. We need to know what it says. And that's why at Wellspring Church, every single week, we try as hard as we can to preach straight from God's Word into your lives. We try to touch different areas, different facets, and tell you this is what God says about dating. This is what God says about how to be a good parent. This is what God says about how to work. This is what God says about this and that and the other. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. But that's not enough. That's not enough. If you truly want to have a relationship with God, if you truly want to hear from Him and understand what He's saying, you've got to take that one step further and make it your own. You know, you've got to develop a personal relationship with God, which also includes personally spending time reading His Word, getting to know it. Look what the psalmist says. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That just simply means I know the Bible. All right? I know we have a bunch of lawyers in here. You know case law. You studied the law. Yeah, there may be times you have to go and dig a little bit, but most things, you've studied the law, and when a client sits down in front of you and they want to say, well, I want this, this, and this, you know immediately it's not going to happen because that's illegal. Or I know this case and this case and this case and this case has come down, and I know that's how they ruled, so boom, I can save you time. This is what's going to happen. And then if they pay a whole lot of money, you can probably change that. But, oh, come on, lawyers, you know I'm just playing with you. But we all do that in our industries, all right? We know things, we learn things, we understand things. The Bible's the same way, all right? God wants us to know the Bible inside out, to understand it so that when these things happen, we can know, okay, this is what the Bible says about this. Of course this is God speaking to me. Of course this is God encouraging me to be kind to my neighbor. The Bible tells me to be kind to my neighbor. So of course this is what God wants me to do. So that's question number one. And I'm telling you, for most of you in the room, for most situations, that's it. Question number one answers the issue. Because most of us struggle with moral issues, right and wrong. Whether or not God's leading us to change something, and God's word is abundantly clear. But sometimes it's not a moral issue. Sometimes we think God may be telling us to move. Sometimes we think God may be telling us to start a new business. Sometimes we think God may be telling us to adopt a child. Okay, that's not a moral issue. So this is when we move on to the next four questions. All right, question number two, is it in line with God's will for my life? Is it in line with God's will for my life? And I know some of you who maybe grew up in church, you've heard that phrase, and you want to say, Trey, if I knew God's will for my life, I wouldn't be having to sit here. Because if I knew God's will for my life, I'd know what I'm supposed to do. Let me shock you today. All right? We have made God's will for our lives incredibly too complicated. We really have. We've convinced ourselves that if we take this job and it wasn't God's will for us to take that job, we're going to mess up our life and we're going to mess up somebody else's life because it was actually their will to have that job. And no. Let me make it clear for you. Here's God's will for your life. Every person in this room, unequivocally, here's God's will for your life. To love him, to love other people, and to tell other people about him. That's it. 100%. That's God's will for your life. How you go about that is really left up to you. As long as you're loving God, as long as you're loving other people, as long as you're trying every day to tell others about him, have at it. You know, what else, where you were, those kind of things, he pretty much leaves in your hands. So whatever the issue is, start a business, whatever, if you think and you sit down and look at it and say, all right, I think this is what God's telling me to do, and I've looked in scripture and you know, all green lights there. So is it in will with God's will? Is it in line with God's will for my life? Is it going to allow me to love God, to love others, and to tell others about him? Let me put flesh on that, okay? If you have an idea of starting a new business, all right, ask yourself honestly, and don't pretend, ask yourself honestly, when I start this new business, am I gonna be fair? Am I gonna be helpful? Am I gonna pay people fairly? Am I gonna do business ethically? Am I going to do everything every day as unto the glory of God? Or am I going to cut corners? Am I going to, you know, I kind of know how to do business this way. It's a little shady, but we make a lot of money. That's not really in line with God's will for your life, which is to love him more, love others more, and tell others about him. That's God's will for your life. So you can hold that up and just ask yourself, all right, are we in line? Are we good? All right. Let's keep moving on. Question number three. This one's going to shock you, but here's question number three. How do I feel? How do I feel about this issue? How do I feel about this change? How do I feel about this step God's asking me to take? Is it exciting? Is it scary? Does it make me nervous? Do I think I should do it? Do I want to do it? Now, again, if any of you were brought up in church, you were probably taught or at least made to believe that God's will for your life was basically to be miserable. All right? Pick the thing you never wanted to do ever in life, and God was going to make you do it. You know, I love people who say, well, I went to that church and I told them I'd do anything but work with the youth. And next thing I know, I was working with the youth. Guess what? If you tell me the last thing you want to do is work with youth, you ain't working with youth. Because they're hard to work with. And if you don't want to work with them, I'm not going to make you work with them. I don't want to work with them. That's why I'm up here. All right? I don't want to work with them. And at Wellspring Church, I never will work with them. I'll say, hey, youth, come in here and have fun. But you freak me out. Oh. God is not a cosmic killjoy out to destroy your life and take away everything good and pleasurable you've ever experienced. So many people don't become Christians because they think, well, if I become a Christian, it means I'm going to have to quit my job and sell my house, and I'm going to have to move to Africa, and I have to live in a hut because I don't want to live in a hut, but I'm going to have to because I don't want to do it. And everybody says, you're going to do what you don't want to do if you follow God. No. I have dear friends who live in Africa in a hut. I do. And you know what? They really wanted to go. And they really love being there. And they think it's weird that I like being here with air conditioning and Facebook. But I really like air conditioning and Facebook. Let me read you a verse. Psalm 37:4 says this. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you hear that? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, there is a big caution here. Okay, you have to do the first part. You have to delight yourself in the Lord. You have to have a growing relationship with him where you daily say, all right, God, your will, not mine, be done. Your will, not mine, be done. And as that relationship grows, your heart literally changes. And you start to like the things God likes. And your heart changes, and you no longer desire as much the thing God doesn't like. And here's what begins to happen. God literally begins to instill and fulfill the desires of your heart. He gives you new desires. And then he fulfills them. He instills and fulfills. So, if you've been coming to this place, and hear me, I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not perfect, all right? That's what this whole series is about how I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But if you've been coming and you know you're trying this God thing, and you know you've been reading your Bible a little bit, you've been praying a little bit, and you really do feel like you see some changes. You know, it's funny, but one of the biggest ones people usually tell me is they don't lose their temper as quickly. I'm still working on that one, but I guess I kind of inverted and I worked on some other things first. But as that transformation happens, when these sort of things happens, when God starts speaking to you, yes, you take it to his word first, and yes, you ask, is it in line with God's will? But then you do get to ask, how do I feel about it? Does it excite me? Is this something I'm interested in doing? Is this something I would want to do? Have I dreamt my whole life about starting this new business? And do I feel like now's a way I could do it well? That may be God speaking to you. That may be God speaking to you. Two more questions, actually. The next one is key. All right? The next one is key because it's the only time you actually talk to anyone outside of yourself and God. But question number four. You got to ask this question. Question number four, you got to ask it. What do the right they say? We always hear, well, they said, well, they say this, well, they say that. Well, they also said this. Here's the deal. You got to make sure you're listening to the right they. All right? Some of you listened to the wrong they. It didn't work out too well. But you got to listen to the right they. What is the right they? What does it look like? Proverbs 12:26 says this, the godly give good advice to their friends, the wicked lead them astray. The godly give good advice to their friends, and the wicked lead them astray. So basically what I'm saying is the right they equals godly people. Does that mean they're perfect? Nope, because nobody's perfect. Here's what it means. Here's what it means, very simply. They have a healthy, growing relationship with God, period. They love God. They have a growing relationship with him. They're trying to become more like him. And this is also important. They have a genuine love for you. Okay? That's important. There's a lot of people that have a growing relationship with God that really don't know you. Okay? These people need to have a growing relationship with God, but they also have a genuine affection for you. And it must be in that order. Did you catch that? It must be in that order. They must love God more than they love you. Because if they love you more than they love God, they're going to tell you what you want to hear. And then this doesn't work. But if they love God more than they love you, and you trust that, then you can go to them and get their advice and take it and weigh it against everything else that you're hearing as you're going through this process. For me, one of the right they is my wife. Okay? I don't make a big decision without talking to her. I don't, because I know she loves God. I know she loves me, but I know she loves him more. And I know she will speak truth to my life. And even as I say this, I know some of you are thinking, Trey, that sounds fantastic. You have a wife who loves God. That's awesome. I don't have that person in my life. I don't have those people in my life. You know, I'm the only person in my family that even comes to this place. I'm trying to get my friends to come, but right now I don't have a right they in my life. And what I want to say to you is, you could not be in a better place. Okay? One of the main roles of the church is to build community amongst believers. That's one of the main roles. Because this life isn't meant to be lived alone. It's meant to be lived in community, so we can have people to talk to when we have questions, when we have struggles. And as you plug in here at Wellspring Church, as you connect, as you serve, as you check out Bible studies, as you attend regularly, as we do community events, those relationships will grow. So that when the time comes that you need a right they, they'll be there. And you can go to them and say, man, here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I think God's saying to me. Here's what the Bible says. Here's how I feel about it. What do you think? And you can trust that they're going to actually take that. They're not going to run, tell five people, you will never believe what so-and-so just told me. That they're going to pray about it, and they're going to really give you godly, sound advice about whatever it is you're struggling with. They're going to be able to point out, actually, this is a moral issue. Here's what the Bible says about it. And I know it's going to be hard for you, but I'm going to walk with you every step of the way. We're going to do this together. Because God's speaking to you. And I know he's going to speak to me in a little while. I'm going to need you to help me. So I'm going to help you now. And that's how it goes. We seek scripture. We ask, is it in line with God's will for our life? We then ask, is it something I even want to do? How do I feel about it? We go out and seek the right day. We get godly advice. And most of the time, those four questions are enough. Okay? If those four questions all line up and you're all getting the same answer, go for it. Don't even think about question number five that I'm going to give you. Okay? Don't. I'm telling you right now, don't even think about question number five. Because if all four are pointing in one direction, question number five doesn't matter. But sometimes you're not sure. Sometimes you don't know how you feel. Sometimes you may ask a few friends and one may say, that's a good idea. One may say, it's a bad idea. And they're both valid opinions. And you're just not sure what God's saying to you. When that happens, okay, when there's an imbalance, when you're not sure, there's one final question you can ask, one final process you can apply to your situation to try to discern what God wants you to do. Number five, what do the circumstances reveal? What do the circumstances reveal? This is a tough one because, like I said, if all four are clear one way, circumstances don't matter. Because there are times God's going to call you to do something that makes absolutely no sense in your circumstances. And he just wants you to follow. But when it's not clear, when you're not sure, you can look at circumstances. Here's a great example. Let's go back to the starting your business. Okay? Maybe you do believe God's leading you to start a new business. And maybe it is a God idea that you start that new business. But maybe God is saying, it's a good idea, but just not right now. Because you're still neck deep in debt from the last business that you started. And maybe you need to clean that up. You need to spend a little more time learning and studying, getting equipped to do it. And then when the timing's right, you're going to start that next business. But other times, that's what I'm saying. Other times, when everything's clear one way, you ignore the circumstances. I'm just telling you right now. You ignore them. Because when God's speaking clearly through his word and into your heart and through other people, boom, go. Circumstances, forget about them. Because he just wants you to believe. He just wants you to take a step of faith. He wants you to take a risk. Now, I want to flesh this out for you guys a little bit. Because it's kind of still up here right now. So what I want to do is I want to walk through how I carried out this process in my own life when God called me to start Wellspring Church. It was a little over 2 years ago. It was April 15th, 2008. I was in Birmingham, Alabama at a pastor's conference. A pastor named Dino Rizzo was preaching out of Proverbs 4:23, which says, "Guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life." And Dino Rizzo was preaching to pastors, and he was encouraging pastors. And the way he took that passage, guard your heart, he was saying, pastors, you've got to guard the uniqueness that God's created in you. He was basically arguing that every pastor in the room had been uniquely designed by God to pastor, to minister, where God had placed them. That there's something special in this guy that's going to reach, you know, Macon, Georgia, better than this guy because he's better equipped to reach Keller, Texas. Okay, guard your heart. You got to guard that. You got to protect that. You got to allow God to make you who you are, because out of that is going to be the wellspring of your ministry. It's going to be the overflowing of what God does for you and in through those people. And as he was preaching that passage, I was just sitting there listening, sitting with my senior pastor thinking, yeah, man, this is good. I'm glad he's hearing this because he is really equipped for Keller, Texas. This is good. And I was sitting there just listening, and as clear as anything I've ever heard in my life, God spoke to me. I don't know if I'd call it an audible voice, but it was more like a thought that popped into my head that wasn't mine. And what the thought said was, I've put that in you, and it's time to go. I was like, what now? And I did. I thought it was my brain. I really did. I was like, that's not God. That's just my brain being silly. But it kept coming. And so I said, okay, God, whatever. Let's pretend like this is you. Ha, ha, ha. Where would I go? And again, as clear as anything I've ever heard in my life, in my brain, it just appeared. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Boom. In that moment, God called me to move to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina and start this church. But I wasn't sure. I wanted to know, God, is this really you? Is it really you talking to me, or is it just my brain being silly because I've been at this conference for 2 days? So I began this process. I searched the scriptures. No red lights. The Bible was actually full of people being called from one place to go to another to spread the gospel. So as I read the Bible, man, all green lights. I looked at, is it in line with God's will for my life? How could it not be? how could starting a church, if that's what I thought God was telling me to do, not be in line with loving Him, loving others, and telling others about Him? That's exactly what I was going to do. So yes, it was in line with God's will for my life. How did I feel about it? How did I feel about this call? I was terrified. I couldn't eat. Couldn't really sleep. Couldn't really talk about it. It was horrifying to me, the idea of doing this. I felt inadequate. I felt underprepared. I felt ill-equipped. But the more I prayed about it, the more God began to change my desires from fear to excitement, to encouraged, to okay, God, I can't do this, but you can do this through me. All right, number four, what did the right they say? I talked to my wife about it. I explained to her what had happened. I asked her to pray about it, and she did. And as she prayed, she consistently felt more and more that this is what God wanted us to do. So that's the right day. I talked to the senior pastor at the church in Texas about what I thought God was saying to me. And here's what he said. I'll never forget it. First words out of his mouth, never forget it as long as I live. First words out of his mouth were, I've been waiting on this conversation for a long time. Because I've always known you were going to go do this. That's encouragement from the right day, folks. And so, even though I was sure, even though I knew, I even asked the last question, what about the circumstances? So I did some research, and here's what I discovered. I discovered that 84% of the people that live in Myrtle Beach don't go to church. 84%. Now, if you get into, like, regular church attendance and plugged in, that number is even higher. But 84% means they don't even show up on Easter and Christmas Eve. All right, 84% of the people here don't attend church regularly. And even though there are already some churches here, I would never disparage them. There are some great churches doing some work. 84% is a really big number. And another circumstance is that I'm young. I'm 30. Please don't leave. I'm 30. I'm 20 years younger than the vast majority of the pastors here. And so I knew that that would also help me reach some of the people that they aren't connecting with, that they're not reaching. And so as I looked at circumstances, yes, I believed God was calling us here. So with still fear in my heart, Danny and I held hands and knelt in our den in Texas and prayed and said, God, if you're sending us, we'll go. We'll go. And it's all because we walked through that process together. I went through that process, not a formula, but that process to clearly hear what God was saying to me. And the point of all this is that you can do the same thing. God wants to clearly speak into your life. He wants to make it so clear what he's trying to say. And I know some of you are still, there's a nagging question and you just want to ask it, so I'll ask it for you. Okay, Trey, then why is it so hard? Why can't he just tell me? Why this whole process? Why this whole having to do all these things to understand what he's trying to say if he won't speak so clearly? Why this process? Why is it so complicated? And here's the answer. It's because the process is the point. The process is the entire point of the whole thing, what God's trying to say to you. Just last week, I was talking to a buddy of mine about a movie that he had gone to see that I wanted to see. And he was telling me how good it was, how great the acting was. He was telling me about how some of the shots were really cool and kind of telling me some of the funny parts. And then he goes, it was really great until the very end when the main character dies. Now, if all I cared about was the result, if all I cared about was the result of the movie, I should have been fine. He told me the end. That's enough. But that's not why I go to a movie. I go to a movie to experience the movie. I want to know the suspense. I want to know the humor. I want to ask questions. I want to figure it out. I want the journey. I want the process of knowing that movie. And what God is saying to each of us today is, I want you to go through the process of knowing me. Because as you go through the process of knowing me, you know me better. And it gets easier and easier for me to communicate with you. So I beg you today, if you're wondering, if you're right on the tip, man, is God talking to me? I'm not sure. Just go through this process. It doesn't make God mad. It thrills him. Do you have any idea how happy God is when we try to hear from him? When we do everything in our power to say, God, I just want to know, is it really you? Because if it's really you, I'm going to go. I'm going to take this step. But I just got to know, is it really you? And God's saying, man, I want you to know it's really me. Let's walk through this process together. And as you do, I will reveal myself. He will reveal himself to you. If you wouldn't mind, bow your heads. I just want to pray over you very briefly, and you're going to be done. This is my prayer over you. May you be blessed today with the knowledge that the God of the universe loves you, died for you, made a way to have a relationship with you, and he can't wait to clearly speak into your life. May you be blessed to know that he wants to be heard by you.